You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Joey Santora, and I've lost 5 followers on Instagram today.
Oh, really? From the reel yesterday?
I lose followers every day. Dang. I lose.
Bye.
Like, I lose maybe, I don't think it's unrealistic to say I lose 50 followers every single week, but I gain about the same or a little bit more than I lose every single week. Yeah.
That's something.
I'm not trying to flex or anything like that, but like, it's just funny. It makes me laugh because I'm like,
5. Bye-bye.
I'm like, why did my video on being who God's made you to be make you unfollow me? I don't know.
But just, yeah.
It's okay. Oh, yes.
I'm happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Why are you happy to be here, Ben?
I started full-time at Faith Church today.
Woo!
Today was my first official full-time day, and I'm very grateful to the Lord for it. I'm happy to be here.
Wouldn't be my first choice, but you know, whatever.
You know.
Oh, man.
Respect.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Okay. It is time to rate that crumble cookie. Here we go. What do we got?
Come on.
Let's see. Ben said
he's gonna go 2 for 3.
Everything that everybody has told me that the flavors are not good today. Like even one of our students, Anna Paula and Leticia, yeah, they told me it was not very good.
I was a bit disappointed personally.
Okay, I think I know. I think I'm gonna get this quick. Oh, I'm gonna get this. All right, the flavors are. I'm not obviously. There's a chocolate chip cookie every week. It's not that one. Lemon blackberry cake. It's not that one. Classic pink sugar. It's just not going to be that one either, I don't think. Chocolate cake batter is a very real possibility. Kentucky butter cake. And then original, which is featuring M&M's peanut butter chocolate candies. Okay, I'm going to nail this. I'm gonna be a little cocky. I think I'm gonna nail this.
Uh-oh, I'm nervous for you.
All right. It's not the lemon blackberry cake because of the reasons why we listed last time. It's we don't want another cheesecake instant. We want an actual cookie. It's not the classic pink sugar because that's available every single week, although it is a really good cookie, actually. I think I've had it before. Now, is it the chocolate cake batter? Maybe. Is it the Kentucky butter cake? Maybe. Is it the original with the peanut butter chocolate candies? Maybe. So we're going to see what the Lord will do right now. I am going to take out the Kentucky butter cake.
Okay.
I do not think you got that. I think that is a very interesting flavor, and I would be interested to try it. You know, the original is definitely a good option, so I'm definitely going to have to go with chocolate cake batter.
All right. Well, let's find out. It's just chocolate, Joe. Like, it's just chocolate.
He went with the Kentucky butter cake.
I sure did.
1 for 3. I am not very good at this.
I'm not going to just get a chocolate. It's just going to taste like a lot of chocolate.
I don't know.
No,
I wasn't sure.
Like, when I looked the first time,
I will say something that would have changed my answer potentially is seeing the powdered sugar better on the.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was there. And then when I got there and got the cookie,
no,
I was like, oh, hey, look at that.
Because it doesn't look like there's powdered sugar on the cookie.
It really doesn't.
I really thought it was between chocolate cake batter and Kentucky butter cake. I was just being funny by keeping the original
in
there.
Yeah, that's boring.
But yeah, I can understand why you didn't get the cake batter.
The Kentucky butter cake is the only thing that's like, hey,
unique.
This might surprise me a little bit.
Okay,
everything
that's
else is like, that's going to taste like, strawberry frosting. That's just going to taste like chocolate. That's just going to taste
cookie,
like M&M's.
That cookie would have just tasted like a cosmic brownie probably type deal or something like that.
Would have been good.
But
we're here. We're going to have a butter cake from Kentucky.
It smells like butter.
It smells like I smelled it. It's supposed to be like fried dough.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. It's in the family.
It's in the family.
Oh my gosh! It's a cold. It's a chilled cookie.
Yeah. Yep.
Have we had a hot cookie yet?
We have not. I don't know if the M&M's one there was hot, but the only option to have a hot cookie so far, to my knowledge, has been the peanut butter one last week, which we did not get.
This is a lot of fun. Oh, yes. I really
thought you were going to get it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I kind of knew I sold the bag.
Listen, it's a tough choice. You got a lot of pressure on you.
It's a lot of pressure. To be honest with you, I feel like I had an opportunity at both of them.
You did.
And I kind of just choked it.
It's all right.
Okay, I got two pieces cut.
I should probably pre-cut it.
It's okay.
I'll do that next week.
Here we go. It's kind of a bigger piece.
It is a bigger piece.
It's like an eighth, though.
Get a two-biter.
All right, here we go. Kentucky butter cake. I know what it tastes like. Oh. You know what it tastes like?
I do, but I don't.
Those cookies?
The
shortbread cookies that you get in
with the frosting on top?
No, just like the shortbread cookies that come in the like old people have them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Like the flavors, yeah.
It's good though.
Man.
It's good.
Let me tell you. I don't know what's really going on right now. There's not a lot to it, but it's like hitting.
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot that's like, you know, like, whoa, what is that?
It's hitting.
But it's like very good.
What was last week's?
What the heck was last week's? How can we not remember last week's?
Hold on while we think. I got it wrong. I thought it was the grandma cookie, but it wasn't the grandma cookie.
Do I actually have to go back?
There's no way that we don't remember what it was last week. This is insane.
No, this is super annoying.
Are you serious that we can't remember the cookie that we had last week? I'm gonna look right now. Dealing with comparison. Let's see.
Wait, give us like two more seconds.
All right, I'll give you two more seconds because I'm done. I think I know what. Wait, no. Yeah.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet.
I just don't remember.
Maybe I just didn't get a good bite.
Wait, I remember. I didn't get a lot of it.
The strawberry. It was strawberry.
Strawberry. Yes.
What was it?
I gave it like.
It wasn't just strawberry.
Strawberry, the shortcake bar.
Like the ice cream bar.
Yeah. Okay. This is better than that, in my opinion.
It is.
I
don't know why.
What did I give the strawberry? Like a 7?
We didn't remember the cookie.
You gave it a 7.5. Oh, yeah. I gave it a 7. Right. Yeah.
Good job.
I think this is a little better.
I do, too.
I think that I would eat the whole thing. I have a rating for it. And I feel good about it.
I do, too.
Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
7.5.
What'd you say?
I said 8.5. I was between 8 and 8.5, and I think it's an 8. I think I bumped it up.
I
bumped it up prematurely. I'm trying to be a little bit more conservative with the ratings.
Me too. That's why I went 7.5.
You went 7.5? I'm going to go 8. I think that 7.5, 8 is correct.
This is good. Because, it doesn't for me. For me, there's different statuses. If you're between a 0, if 0 is its own class. But like if you're a 1 to a 3, you're not a very good cookie. If you're
not very good.
Like you're not good.
You're bad.
Yeah, you're bad.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. You're bad. it's like you're really bad if you're 1 through 3. That's fair. If you're like 3 to 5, 4 5, you're just like a slightly under average to average cookie, right?
Yeah.
Then if you're like a 6 7, You're a solid
you're
cookie.
Solid. You're
good.
There. You showed up.
If you're an 8, 9, you're a really good cookie. Like this is a good cookie. If you're over a 9 or a 10, you're amazing.
Oh wow.
Right. So like for me, this doesn't hit the 8 for me. I can't get it in there because I think it's above average, but I think there's a lot of guys out there that are better than them.
I can get behind that. I think that there's enough room between 8 and 10 to fit those guys in. And yeah, for me, this is the first one where like I've really wanted a second bite. And it was slightly really better than last week's, and I gave last week's a 7.5.
That's fair.
So that's where I'm at.
That's fair. I would definitely eat this entire thing. If I saw Crumble was put this cookie out again, would I run back to the store and get it? No. I still would. I just don't think that I like it that much.
But if you went back to Crumble and the other flavors were like, you'd be like, oh, okay. I'm glad with that. I'm glad that they have this one, though.
I'm glad that this one's at least there. I will say I'd be a little bit disappointed because if I was going to actually take time to go to Crumble and eat a full Crumble cookie by myself, which would be like, it must be my birthday if I'm going to do something like that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I would get, you know that like a bunch of our students do, right?
And they just eat the full one?
Full one. Last week, Anna Paula, Leticia, and who is the third? Sky. All went to Crumble Cookie and they got cookies and they just, yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not saying that I couldn't because I absolutely could.
I get it.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Anyway, going back to the cookie here, I'd be a little disappointed because I think I like frosting on my cookie from Crumble.
Oh, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
If out of the options, if I were just picking one that I knew that I'd really like the best, I would have picked the pink frosted one.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, I'm there for that one. Yep.
Word. Well, thank you for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. Thanks for joining. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Real Reactions. Thanks for hopefully watching Rate That. But now it is time for me to react to our weekly reel. Here we go. Let's check it out.
I'm begging you. Put your loving hand out, baby.
Would everybody please turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4? There is no scripture in the Bible that says that you can lose your salvation. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. Unfortunately, it is very foolish to make dogmatic statements when there is room to have a discussion. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints or preservation of the saints, that some people would call it, or once saved, always saved, is a doctrine that teaches that once you become a Christian, you can not walk away from your faith. It's impossible to walk away from your faith. First off, I will acknowledge that some people can grab some scriptures to try to support this notion. A popular scripture to quote when you're arguing once saved, always saved is you're in the palm of God's hand and no one can pluck you out. However, my response to an argument of something like that would be, that's true. Nobody can pluck you out of God's palm. In other words, if you are a Christian, God is not going to take away your salvation, or somebody else isn't going to take away your salvation. But you can choose to walk away from your salvation still. Just as Paul said to Timothy, that many will depart from the faith. And that's not the only verse that talks about people walking away from their faith. The other thing to consider here, and I want to be very clear, we don't let experiences dictate our doctrine. However, we believe the Bible, and we let the Bible determine our experiences. I understand that. But a great question to ask for people that would subscribe to once saved, always saved would be, I have known many students that have come to this youth group that really loved God and were living a holy and godly life. They had fruits of salvation in their life, very much so. And they were doing everything that a Christian would do, and it was very clear by their fruit, again, that it was in their heart. And they are not Christians anymore, and they are not living for God. I went to youth group with people like this as well. There is a place to say, if something you believe is in the Bible, something you believe in the Bible never lines up with your experiences, you're either doing something wrong or you don't believe correctly. Those are the two options in that. And I believe it is ultimately inconsistent with the teachings of Scripture to say that somebody cannot walk away from their salvation. Once you are saved, you are not always saved. Once you're saved, you can have security in the fact that as long as I choose to be a Christian, that I'll have eternal life. But once saved, always saved, I don't believe to be a biblical doctrine. And this guy thinks he's really slick and clever to be able to just, you know, be like, nope, there's not one scripture. Like, you have to be consistent with the scriptures. Now, there's some stuff that's just completely outlandish that you can pretty much refute right away. But this is actually a topic of discussion that many Bible scholars have, although I believe that the Bible very, very much so teaches that you can walk away from your salvation. I'm going to show another video from this guy, not today, but I'm going to show another one next week. And nothing against him or anything like that. I'm not trying to bash him. But this guy likes to, like, call something out and then just, like, be like, no. And, like, not really, like, give any scriptural, like, support and stuff like that. Like, or whatever. Sometimes in the caption, he has some stuff that he makes an argument with or whatever. But he'll, like, make a statement and he'll act like it's, like, the most clever thing ever that he came up with, when really one scripture can refute everything that he's saying. But nonetheless, maybe we'll see him back here next week. Thanks for tuning in to Real Reaction. See you at the teaching. What's up? And welcome now to the podcast, or the teaching portion of the podcast. There we go. That's what we got. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you skipped all the other stuff, welcome. If you didn't skip all the other stuff, welcome again. Today I want to talk to you about something that I think is extremely important as a Christian to understand, which is dealing with discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. First and foremost, something that we have to realize is that discouragement is a real thing. Discouragement is a real thing. Something doesn't go the way that you plan for it to go. You grow tired of doing what is right, or there's results that haven't followed your actions. You know, you've been believing God for something. You've been standing on the word, and it just seems like it's taking a while for something to happen that you've been believing God for. Or maybe just something goes wrong in life and you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel down one day. Discouragement is a real thing that people face. People in the Bible got discouraged too. There are many people in the Bible that had discouraging things that took place. I want to be clear about something. It is okay to have a feeling of discouragement, but it is not okay for us to stay in discouragement. I want to make sure that's clear, because sometimes I think that in church, if we're not careful, we can make it almost seem like you cannot have a feeling. Like, if I feel a certain way, like, it's even wrong for me to have, to begin to feel sad, or it's wrong for me to feel discouraged, or it's wrong for me to feel angry. Where it becomes a problem is where we give those feelings priority, or allow it to breed ground in our life, where we keep that feeling there and then we act based on our feelings. That's when it becomes a problem. Or when we let our feeling become something that we ponder upon and stay in our mind, instead of doing what the Bible says and taking every thought captive and putting it into submission of Christ. So it is important to realize that you may feel discouraged. You're not sinning if you feel discouraged, but it is not okay for us to stay discouraged. Furthermore, it's okay to feel discouraged or have a feeling of discouragement, but it's not okay to act out of discouragement, But the question that I really want to get into today is how to deal with discouragement. Like I said, it's a real thing. It's something that people may face in life, especially you may begin to face discouragement if you start doing something that God has told you to do with your life. And as you're doing it, something doesn't go the way that you thought that it would go. You know, as a youth pastor, you know, you take over a youth ministry and you're expecting, you know, our students are going to be on fire after, you know, 1 week of preaching and stuff like that. And you're ready to go. And you preach the first, but you're like, man, like, they're not on fire. What's going on? And you start to feel discouraged. You know, you preach to students for, you know, a couple of weeks, or you have a service that didn't go maybe the way that you wanted it to go, and you start to feel discouraged. Now, let me encourage you with this. If you are someone who wants to go into ministry, or somebody who is a minister who's watching this, let me encourage you that you will see students get on fire, that you will see your youth group go to a place that is amazing. You're going to see growth like you've never seen before. I believe all of those things, as long as you take the necessary actions. But sometimes these things don't happen overnight. We need, just like the Bible says, we need to be faithful in the little. And when we're faithful in the little, God will give us much more. It doesn't always happen over life. Much of our early stage of our life is a test. Not saying it's necessarily a test from God all the time, but there are tests, that things that happen, and God sees how we respond to the things that happen. And discouragement is a very real thing, especially at a young age as we're trying to get things going. And I believe that most of the people that watch my podcast are either a young adult or a youth. If there are any other adults that are watching and stuff, I'm sure that there are times of discouragement that you may face as well. But especially when you're young and you're getting started in doing the thing that God has called you to do, you may start to feel discouraged at certain times. I promise you, this is not going to be a Debbie Downer, you know, type of teaching. I'm just trying to set the stage and help you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not somebody that believes that our life is a life of discouragement. I'm not somebody that believes that our life is a life of defeat. I don't believe any of that type of stuff. In fact, I don't believe that a Christian ever has to suffer defeat. I believe that there are challenges in life, but I don't have to mistake a challenge for a defeat. I don't have to face discouragement for being defeated, but I may feel discouraged in a moment. And there is a way for us to deal with that. So let's get into this. Ready? How to deal with discouragement. First, here is the first step when you start to feel discouraged. And it's so simple and it's practical, but many people don't do it. Ready? First off, go to God. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Go to God. This seems like such a simple point. Yet, even me in my life, when I have been discouraged, sometimes I need to remind myself to go to God. We say, you know, go to God. Okay, well, that sounds easy. But the reality is oftentimes when we're discouraged, we find ourselves going to all different sorts of things. I've even found myself going to friends before I go to God. I found myself going to you know, just like other outlets instead of going to God, not even necessarily sinful things, you know, like just going to, you know, play a video game or something like that. And we'll get into kind of that a little bit later. But the first place I should go when I feel discouraged is the Lord, because in Him I can find encouragement. Why? Because in Him He has my purpose. He has the plan for my life, all of those things. And so when I start to feel discouraged, it is important for me to go and look at the plan that God has for my life. Remind myself of the plans that God has for me. Remind myself of what the Bible says about me, because that is where true encouragement can be found. True encouragement can be found in the purpose that God has for me and stepping out and fulfilling it. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19 if you're not already there. I'm going to give a little bit of setting before I read this, actually. Elijah just had a very mighty victory in 1 Kings 18. He basically had this big showdown with these prophets of a false god by the name of Baal. And just in case she's watching, she'll know who she is. Yes, Baal is irrelevant, we know. And if you didn't get that, don't worry about that. Some of you will understand the joke. But Baal, this false god, had these prophets, and they were trying to come against Elijah, this prophet of God, the one true God, the only God. And so they're on this mountain called Mount Carmel. And by the way, just another proof that it is not Carmel. It is caramel. If you are talking about the sauce or the stuff that you put on your ice cream or in your coffee, it is caramel. There is an A there. It is not caramel. I'm sorry if you want to kill me after saying that. But it is, I prophesied. It is caramel. No, I'm just kidding. Am I kidding that's caramel though? No, I'm not. I'm kidding about the prophecy part. Anyway, I need to stay focused here. We're starting to drift off a little bit, Ben. Help me here. Help me. Mount Carmel, these prophets of Baal and Elijah, the prophet of God, they're on this mountain. And what's basically happening is they have a showdown. Elijah challenges them with a showdown. Says basically, listen, why don't you put some wood on an altar? Why don't you put something on an altar and you call down fire from your God? And I will call down fire from my God, and we'll see whose God responds by fire or not. Prophets of Baal, they spend like hours trying to get Baal to be able to respond by fire, and nothing happens. They start cutting themselves. They start doing all this stuff, which, by the way, that just shows you that cutting yourself and all that nonsense, it's not of God. It's of a false God. It is of the devil, because that's ultimately where a false God comes from, is the devil. All that cutting yourself, harming yourself, that's not of God. That's of the devil. And so they start cutting themselves. God never tells people to cut themselves for him. God doesn't tell people to ruin the body that he created for him. God doesn't ask his people to do that. Anyway, so they start cutting themselves and nothing happens. And then Elijah comes on the scene. And they're all done. He goes, okay, my turn. And Elijah made fun of him a little bit too while he was doing it. He was like, you know, maybe God, maybe your God's using the bathroom. You know, maybe he's relieving himself over there and stuff like that. I love that because honestly, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I could be a little bit of a troll with that type of stuff. So I see Elijah doing it and I'm laughing about it. And then Elijah steps up and he gets real confident. He gets cocky the way that I was cocky about the crumble cookie. The only difference is he was confident in the Lord and I was confident in my own ability to be able to guess the crumble cookie earlier. But he was confident in the Lord. And so he says, go and douse this wood with water. Go ahead, just keep dousing it with water. My God's still going to respond by fire. And what does God do? God does what he always does. He shows up and he responds by fire. And everybody sees this. Elijah's on a high. He's coming on a great victory. It's powerful. And then after that happens in chapter, this is still chapter 18. This is a victorious chapter for Elijah. Then there's a big drought that is in the land. For 3.5 years, it did not rain one time in the days of Elijah. And for 3.5 years, didn't rain. But then Elijah does something amazing. He calls down rain from heaven. He prays and he calls down rain from heaven. Go for to James chapter 5. I want to read this to you. This is still talking about Elijah. James 5:16 says this. It says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Powerful. Powerful. Did you know that you could pray for it not to rain? You can pray for it not to rain. And he did that. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain for 3.5 years. So Elijah was the one that made it not rain in the land. But then watch this. After he was ready for it to rain again, he prayed and he prayed for rain to come down. And what happened? It started to rain. So Elijah has this great victory where he defeats the prophets of Baal. God shows up strong. It's a great victory for him. It's a great victory for the kingdom of God. The rain starts coming down. All these great miracles are happening. And then we reach chapter 19. We have 18, the chapter of victory, 1 Kings 18, and then we have chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel, Ahab was the king at that time, and Jezebel was his wife, all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as life of one of them by this time tomorrow. In other words, if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow. So he threatens Elijah with death. Then it says in verse 3, then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. Think about this. Elijah is just on this spiritual high. He just has these powerful things happen. He sees fire come down from heaven, and he sees rain come down after it hasn't rained in 3.5 years in response to his prayers. And now in verse 19, he starts to feel discouraged. Not even just discouraged, he's afraid for his life. He says, I'd rather just die right now. Something that we can learn from this is that oftentimes discouragement will come after a great victory. Why? Because this is how the devil works. After we get on a high for God, there might be a discouragement that comes. And I'm not trying to, you know, speak to you and say to you that after you do something great for God that, you know, you're just going to be discouraged all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that often discouragement will look to strike after a great victory. And so Elijah's super discouraged here. But listen to what Elijah does. I want to emphasize this. Even though Elijah is upset, even though he's discouraged, and he says, God, would you just take me now? Would you just take me now? Which, by the way, people say Elijah was suicidal. Little bit of a stretch. The reason why it's a little bit of a stretch is because it's not that Elijah wanted to kill himself. It's that Elijah was discouraged and he was asking the Lord to take him because he was done living. In the sense that he didn't want to live anymore, I can understand where people are coming from, but Elijah was not about to go and take his own life or anything like that. The scriptures don't seem to suggest that. But I would understand where somebody was coming from if they used that phrase, but I just thought that I would point that out. And sometimes people that point that out, they'll say Elijah was suicidal, and they make it sound like it's okay to remain in a state of suicide. That's why I don't like it when people say that sometimes, if they don't clarify that, okay, Elijah might have been feeling like he wanted to die, but he didn't stay there, and we're going to get to that later. In fact, he didn't stay there very long at all. So Elijah's really discouraged, but look at what happens. Although he's discouraged, although he's upset, although he says he wants to die, who does he talk to about these things? He talks to the Lord. He says, and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord. Even though Elijah's saying these things, and he's saying, God, I don't even want to live anymore. Who is he bringing it up with? He's bringing it up with the Lord. Lord, I need you. Sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there's been some discouragement that's happened in my life, and I go before the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, I feel discouraged right now. Lord, this thing didn't go the way that I was expecting it to go. Lord, I've been believing you for this, and I just feel kind of discouraged in my faith right now. But I'm still going to God. I'm still going to God. I'm not allowing my thoughts to remain in my head. I'm bringing them to someone who can do something about the things that I am feeling. Elijah was not the only person in the Bible that went to the Lord when there was a time of discouragement or when there was a difficult time that took place or a challenge that took place. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It is so important to go to the Lord, to go to the Lord when we have these types of thoughts and issues that come up in our life. Sometimes we can act as though, you know, oh, I never have any, you know, sad feelings, or I never feel discouraged ever. And the reality is that we have to understand that it is not wrong to have these feelings, but it is wrong if we handle it the wrong way. And going to God is the first thing that we ought to do. Look at what happens with David. 1 Samuel 30. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcame Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the woman and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. Basically, let me just explain what happened. David and his men had left their wives and their supplies and their families at this camp. And they went out. And they went out. And when they came back, basically they had seen that all of their wives and their stuff was burned to the ground. Their wives were no longer there. They were taken captive. Their families were no longer there. And so it says in verse 3, and when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So everything they knew burned to fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters taken captive. This is a pretty difficult time for David. You have to understand, and the Bible's actually going to say this in a second, it wasn't just David's men's family. It was David's wives as well. It was David's wives that were taken as well. It was David's entire family. And so the men began to weep, the Bible says. And then in verse 6, we're going to skip down. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. So basically, it says that David, he was greatly distressed. Why? Because all of his men wanted to kill him. Why? Because all of their wives were gone. David's wives were gone. And yes, I'm saying wives plural. David did have multiple wives. Not because God ever, by the way, affirmed having multiple wives. God did not affirm polygamy in the Old Testament. It was something that did take place in the Old Testament. Polygamy was something that did take place. However, their people were so hard in their heart towards God at that time that they had fallen so far away from the way that God created like it in the beginning, that during that time, God did not permit it to be able to take place, and he wasn't okay with it, but it was something that happened. But listen to this. When Jesus came and they asked Jesus about marriage, he says marriage is to be like it was in the beginning. Jesus affirms a man shall leave his father and mother and the two shall become one flesh. So the Bible is not pro-polygamy, by the way, just to be clear. I just thought I should make a point of that, because sometimes these are good things to know, because people will try to discredit the word of God through these little things that they see. The Bible does not affirm polygamy. Anyway, David is super distressed here. He's discouraged. He's upset. All these men want to kill him. And he lost his wives. He's upset about that. He's upset probably about the whole village being torn down. And they want to kill him. Pretty bad situation. But listen to what the Bible says. But David strengthened himself, or some translations say, found his encouragement in the Lord. David found his encouragement in the Lord. You know what I asked myself, if I'm just being honest with you? I asked myself, how did David find his encouragement in the Lord? How? Because I'm thinking to myself like, okay, great, he found his encouragement in the Lord. Well, I thought about it and I began to ponder and I began to read some commentaries as well and reflect on this. Many people suggest, and I think it's fair, that David found his encouragement in the Lord. First off, he went to God when this situation came up, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. But David found his encouragement in the Lord because he remembered the covenant that God had made with him. He had remembered that God said, I'm going to make your descendants sit on the throne forever and ever. I'm going to give you an everlasting kingdom, David. David, I'm making this covenant with you. He remembered God's faithfulness in his life. He remembered that he once was a shepherd boy. He remembered that he once went up against Goliath. And he remembered that God did not fail him once in those moments. He remembered the faithfulness of the Lord. It is important in times of discouragement that we look back and that we remember how faithful God has been to us. We look back and we reflect and we say, God, thank you for everything that you've done in my life. God, I remember when I was in that situation. God, I remember when I was doing that thing that wasn't pleasing to you. God, I remember when there was no hope, but I still remember that although I was discouraged, although I was going through a challenge, that you were still faithful to me. That's what David did in that moment. He found his encouragement in the Lord. Don't look to a man for encouragement. Look to a God who is in heaven. The Bible says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from heaven. Look to the Lord who can provide for you all encouragement that you need, all the strength that you need. Find your encouragement in the Lord, just like David did in this hard time that he was facing. But David didn't just find his encouragement in the Lord just by sitting there. He actually remembered the things that God did, and then he went to God. It says in verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David and inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this man? Shall I overtake them? What did David do? Well, what he did, and I'm going to explain this to you. He got this ephod. What is an ephod? You might be wondering. You might be like, okay, I don't really know what this is. An ephod, it was something that they used in the Old Testament to consult the Lord. And you might be wondering, why didn't they just like follow the Holy Spirit? It was different in the Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them the same way that we do. They had to use other means to be able to discern the will of God for their life. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit that you don't have to get some ephod out or consult something to figure out what God's will is? You can instead follow the Spirit of God in you. So powerful. But David, he inquires of the Lord. The best thing you can do when you face a challenge or a discouragement in life is go right to the Lord. Go right to the Lord. So the first thing is go to God. Second, take practical steps. Go to 1 Kings 19. We're going to go back there. Take practical steps. Verse 5 of 1 Kings 19. It says, and he, being Elijah, lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank. What happened here? Elijah had something very practical take place. Here's a great rule for me to give to you. Never make a spiritual decision when you are overly tired. This is very practical. Don't try to make spiritual decisions when you are overly tired. If you haven't slept in 5 days, it might not be a good time for you to make a decision about your future. Don't underestimate doing the practical things. When you feel discouraged, after you go to God, obviously you're going to feel encouraged in the Lord. But when you go to God, there's nothing wrong with, if you're feeling discouraged, hanging out with some friends that are godly, that can encourage you in the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. That's a practical thing you could do. Nothing wrong with, you know, I love to golf. Nothing wrong with me asking Ben if we want to go golf together and do something practical like that. Be able to enjoy something a little bit. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff, as long as it doesn't substitute going to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord first, but we also need to take care of the practicals. You may be feeling discouraged because you just haven't eaten all day because you've been too busy and you're not fasting. You just haven't eaten all day. You may be discouraged just because you're tired and you're hungry, and all you need to do really to get out of that discouragement is go home, eat something, and go to sleep. Or go home, sleep, and eat something. Make sure to be taking care of yourself practically. There are very practical things that you can do to encourage yourself. Sometimes the practical is something that is spiritual. What do I mean by that? I've had students tell me, I've been feeling really discouraged lately. And I say, oh, really? And they say, yeah, I haven't read my Bible at all in the last 3 weeks. And then I say, well, do you think that might be a good idea for you to do? And they say, yeah, I think I should do that. And I said, I think you should too. I bet you'll feel better. They'll come back to me 2 days later. I feel great. After I read my Bible the other day, I feel awesome. All it took was opening up the Word and reading the Word. They went to God. It was something that was very practical though. Don't underestimate the practicals. You want me to give you something practical to encourage you? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, it says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Can I encourage you with this for a second? If you're feeling discouraged, encourage somebody else. Refreshing is encouraging somebody. When the Bible says in Acts 3:19 through 20, it says that times of refreshment may come. That times of refreshment may come. Refreshment is when a time of refreshment is when the Holy Spirit comes and encourages you, builds you up. You can refresh somebody else and you will actually become refreshed yourself. Why? It's the principle of sowing and reaping. When I refresh, when I encourage somebody else, I will myself be encouraged. There have been times where I feel discouraged and I shoot somebody a text message. Hey, I just wanted to tell you that you're doing a great job and what God has asked you to do. Hey, I just wanted to say to you that you've blessed me so much. Thank you so much for the blessing that you've been on my life. I encourage somebody else and I watch and see as I become encouraged. One time I was feeling really discouraged and I DM'd a minister that has really helped me. And I didn't tell him I was feeling discouraged. I just told him, hey, I just wanted to tell you how much that you've impacted my life. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me and all that stuff. And I didn't even know if the person would ever respond to me, to be honest with you. And I just encouraged them. And I found myself being encouraged as I encouraged them. Refresh others and watch yourself be refreshed. When you're feeling discouraged, a great practical thing to do is to encourage somebody else. You know what else is a great thing to do? The Bible says in Proverbs three different times that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Go to Proverbs 11:14. I'll show you this. Proverbs 11:14. It says, "When there is where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety," or there is wisdom. It is wise to sometimes consult godly counsel. If you start to feel discouraged, it's not wrong to go and consult godly counsel from somebody. Now, if you get good godly counsel, they're going to point you ultimately to the Lord in some way. But they may be able to supply some wisdom to you that you did not think of on your own. So it's good to go to your spiritual leaders when you're feeling discouraged, and they should build you up. By the way, if your spiritual leader discourages you more when you feel discouraged, you might need to reevaluate who your spiritual leaders are. If they hit you with this, you know, if somebody comes to me, you know, Pastor Joey, I don't know. I've just been feeling really discouraged lately. I just feel like, you know, God isn't really going to use me and stuff like that. I've just been not necessarily living the right way either. And all this stuff, you start telling me all these things. And I turn around and I say, yeah, you know, sometimes it's just going to be that way sometimes. And you're just, you know, going to have to deal with it. And yeah, hopefully one day God decides to make it better for you. But I just, you know, it might not be today. Sometimes God just makes us go through these types of things. It's just like, okay, thanks for all of that. You know what a good pastor and a good spiritual leader and a good friend does instead of spewing all that nonsense is they actually go to the Word of God and they actually go and they talk about the Lord. They talk about His Word. They say, I understand that you might be feeling like that. You know, there was somebody in the Bible that felt the way that you felt. There was this guy named David that felt this way. He was feeling super discouraged. He had just lost everything. But guess what? He found his encouragement in the Lord. Let me encourage you with this, that God wants you to be victorious. God doesn't want you to feel discouraged. God wants you to be encouraged in the great plans He has for you. You know what the Bible says? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what a good counselor does. That's what a good spiritual leader does. Too many people trying to go to counselors that don't even know God. You know what I hear about? Counselors that have counselors for the same thing that you're dealing with. It's like, yeah, you know, I just came to you because, you know, I'm dealing with, I have depression and, you know, I've just been dealing with that a lot. And they're like, yeah, me too. I go to a counselor every week as well. And you know, I haven't really gotten any better, but think about it like this. Imagine going to a dentist with disgusting teeth. You walk in, your dentist has halitosis just breathing all over you, and you're just like, please, please to God, I hope that that mask don't come down any further because I'm going to throw hands if it does. Like, their breath stinks, their teeth are all jacked up, they're decayed, they're missing teeth all over the place. Yeah, why would you want to go to a dentist that can't even keep after their own teeth? In the same way, that's why the Bible says that spiritual leaders need to live a life that is above reproach and need to have their household in order, because if their own house isn't in order, then how can they keep God's house in order? That's what the scripture says. I'm just quoting scriptures because I can sense that I bet you that if some people heard what I was about to say, they would say, yeah, well, we all have our struggles and we all this. I'm not saying that we don't have challenges. I'm not saying we don't have temptation. I'm not saying that I am an immortal person and I'm you know, just so amazing. I'm not saying any of that stuff. God would strike me dead for saying nonsense like that and acting like I'm God. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is that you should not be going to somebody. You should not be going to somebody that is literally in the pit with you. You should go to somebody that's out of the pit that can pull you up. That's who you should go to. Friends go to each other. Yeah. You watch porn this week? Yeah, I did. Yeah, we should really hold each other accountable. Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Hold each other accountable for the same thing that you do. And so you both will put it off and you both won't go and talk to each other about the thing because you're going to be too embarrassed to have the conversation instead of going to a spiritual leader that's not dealing with pornography that can actually hold you accountable for that thing that you're going through. I don't know how this ended up talking about pornography, but it's helping somebody right now. Don't go to somebody that is dealing with the same thing that you are dealing with currently. Now watch this. It's not a bad thing to go to somebody that is already on the other side of the thing that you're going through. Somebody that understands what you've gone through. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, the good news of the Bible is that Jesus understands everything that we went through because he was a man like us. He understands everything. We have a high priest that has endured everything that we have endured. He was tempted in every way that we could possibly be tempted. But even beyond sin, just like feelings and emotions, you're depressed. Maybe don't go to somebody that's depressed. You can go to somebody that's come out of depression, but don't go to somebody that is currently depressed. They're just going to make you more depressed. I would encourage you, if you go to a counselor and you're watching this, I would encourage you to reassess if your counselor is not a Christian. I am not saying don't go to a counselor because I'm not trying to get slapped with all these lawsuits. Pastor Joey said that I shouldn't go to a counselor. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to go to a counselor, it ought to be somebody who is a Christian. Why? Because real encouragement and real healing only comes from this book. You can have temporal healing in the world's eyes. You can have temporary whatever in the world, but the only thing that will actually last you is the word of God. Breathing techniques is not going to last you for your entire life. I just looked at Ben as I said this. Sorry about that, guys. But breathing techniques are not going to last you your entire life. You just... Okay, taking a deep breath might be a nice thing to do to relieve you temporarily from stress. But guess what? That stress is going to come back. What if I told you that there's a way in God for you to deal with the stress once and for all? Instead of taking a medicine that will only be a band-aid, you can actually just take an antidote that just gets rid of it. That's so powerful. Oh man, I'm so excited to preach this on Wednesday. I'm not preaching this specifically, but I'm preaching on freedom, talking about freedom a little bit. And I'm so excited for it. People are going to get set free. Amen. But go to godly counsel. Go to godly counsel when you feel discouraged. And they should lift you up in encouragement. And if they don't, then they're missing it. They should lift you up. Now, don't take a rebuke if you're doing something sinful that is causing you to feel discouraged. A rebuke, don't take that, or a correction, don't take that as something that they're discouraging you. A correction should always end in encouragement. Hey, listen, I think that this is something that you got to change in your life. And I'm telling you this because I want God's best for your life. I believe that if you change this way thing you're doing, you're going to end up better on the other side. That's what good godly correction does. All right, we're almost 45 minutes in. I think I have 7 more minutes for 45. I know that the rate that and stuff was longer, but the teaching. Last point. Oh, I love this one. Ooh, I'm going to get on this one. Third, get up and take another swing. Get up and take another swing. I love this one. It says in verse 8 of 1 Kings 19, "And he arose and ate and drank. He went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it." Or I'm sorry, I already read past it. I already read past it. I just honestly was thinking about breathing techniques. That's just the honest truth. I'm sorry, guys. I really was. Okay. Verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord came again and a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise,'" or "get up and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose," or he got up, "and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food." What did he do? Elijah went from being in a moment of wanting to die, a moment of discouragement, to popping right back up. He got up. The angel, the Lord said, "Get back up." You know what the Lord spoke to me one time when I was feeling discouraged? The Lord spoke this to me. And this is what I felt in that moment. And it's biblical because this happens whenever people feel discouraged. And I'll show it to you in the scriptures. I already showed you one place. God says, "Get back up." But I felt the Lord say this to me: "Take another swing. Take another swing." Sometimes we have to take a swing. And if it didn't land, take another swing. And if it didn't land, take another swing. And keep swinging until you hit something. And guess what? When you do hit something, take another swing. When you hit, take another swing. When you hit again, take another swing and keep swinging. What am I swinging at? Keep swinging at the devil and swinging at his face over and 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 over again. Keep swinging. Keep swinging and taking ground for the kingdom of God. Keep swinging and pressing on for the great things that God has for you. Every single time that you do something for God, how can I take a swing? Every time you do something great for God, every time you get back up when you're discouraged, it is a big punch in the face to the devil. A big punch in the face to the devil. Every time. "Man, I thought that I had him that time. Man, I thought I had her that time." The devil probably thought that he had Elijah in that moment. "God, would you just kill me? I'm done." The devil probably thought he had Elijah. But guess what? The devil didn't have the final say. God had the final say. Why? Because Elijah went to God. And Elijah went to God. And the angel of the Lord said, "Get up, Elijah." And he got up. And what did Elijah do? He got up and he went to where God told him to do. And he took another swing. And guess what that other swing led to? When I say take another swing, I mean took another shot at doing something great for God. Kept going to do more great things for God. What happens at the end of this chapter is powerful. Elijah finds Elisha and trains him up in the faith. Elijah trains up Elisha. This other great prophet of God that would have never been trained up by him if he would have died in that moment. On the other end of your discouragement is a great victory. On the other end of your discouragement is a great victory if you would decide to get up and take another swing. Get up and swing. It's time for some of you who are listening to this tonight to take another swing. Go take another swing. Get up. It didn't, okay, fine. It didn't work out the way you expected it to. Stay faithful. Take another swing. The Bible says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season a harvest will come back to you." In other words, don't grow weary in well-doing. I'll give you my translation. Get up and take another swing. Don't stop doing well. Don't stop and doing what God has asked you to do. Don't stop doing what God's word says and keep on swinging. Some people never make it past. Some people never make it past this testing phase. They give up on their faith too soon. They give up on their faith in God before they see the breakthrough. Keep swinging. Keep swinging. I remember after the back to school bash last year, which we're having another one coming up soon. After the back to school bash last year, it's a big soul winning event that we put on every single year. After that, I was a little disappointed. We had 250 students come, which at the time seemed like a lot. And we had 50 salvations. And I was like, all right, this is awesome. I think we had 49 salvations. The next Wednesday, literally no one came back. And I was so discouraged and I thought I was a failure. And I remember in that moment, I felt so discouraged. And I went to God and I told him, I said, God, I feel discouraged. I feel like I feel like I'm done for. I even told the Lord, I kind of told the Lord not to kill me like Elijah. But I even said to the Lord, like, maybe I'm just not cut out for this, God. I don't know. I don't know if I'm really cut out to make this. And I felt the encouragement of the Lord to go and do it again. Go do it again. I felt that encouragement. Or in other words, get up and swing again. And so I did. We got up and we started swinging again. We went into 21 days of prayer and fasting. We believed God for a great move in this area. And what happened? We did our spring kickoff event. 700 students, 540 salvations. If I would have just stayed down in the depths of discouragement, we would have never been able to see that great victory. If I would have said, oh, I quit, I'm done, I'm not cut out for this, we would have never seen the great thing that is on the other side. It's interesting, too, because the back-to-school bash wasn't even a failure. We still had 49 people give their life to Christ. On the other end, on the other end of a great victory, the enemy will often look to discourage us. But we have to press in, get back up, keep swinging, and watch and see the great victory that is on the other side of it. You know, David's story didn't end either in 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Lord asked him, or he asked the Lord, should I pursue? And the Lord said, yes, go. You'll recover everything. And so he went and he pursued. And what happened? They recovered everything. They recovered everything. They went and they recovered everything. They found all the wives. They found all the kids. And guess what? They even got more for their trouble. They even got more for their trouble. Go. I want to read it to you. 1 Samuel 30. What is it? 18 through 20. That's where I want to read, I think. It says, David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken him, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that they had taken. David brought everything but back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. This is good. I say that because the Lord just showed me this even as I was reading this. David recovered everything, and even recovered his reputation. The men went from wanting to kill him, saying, we're done with this guy, let's assume, to saying, this is David's plunder. They went from saying, we're done with this guy, to saying, nah, look at what this guy just did. Why? Because when you stick with God, God will make sure that you recover anything that you had lost, anything that you lost, and you'll get some for your trouble. That's what happened to Job in the Bible. He lost everything, but then he recovered everything and some. That's what happened to David right here in this text, where he went and he recovered everything, and then he even took the rest of their cattle as well. He recovered everything and some. That is the God that we serve. When you feel discouraged, don't give up. Get up and take another swing and watch and see as you'll recover everything and some in Jesus' mighty name. You'll recover all. You'll recover all. Hallelujah. God's going to take you out of the depths of discouragement into great depths of encouragement. Hallelujah. Into great heights of encouragement. Hallelujah. That's where you're going. You're going into great heights of encouragement. Tell you what, I'll be honest with you, felt pretty good to see 540 kids give their life to the Lord. And it felt good. And in that moment, it was really awesome that I didn't quit. It was really awesome. And I want to encourage somebody out there that may be feeling discouraged that's watching this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Take another swing. There's something amazing that's on the other end of this thing. Something amazing. Do your part. Go to God. Make sure you do the practical things. But then get up and take another swing. Don't stay in discouragement. Don't stay in discouragement. It's an ugly place to be. And God doesn't want you to be there. God doesn't want you to be there. I want to speak to anyone that's watching this right now, that you maybe even wanted to take your life before. You've been feeling so down and defeated. I want to encourage you today. God has a great plan for your life. Don't end the plan that God has for you. Don't end it. Don't end it. He loves you way too much. He has way too big of plans for your life for you to say that I'm done. I'm not going to do this thing anymore. Don't take your life. Don't do that. Find your encouragement in the Lord. This is how we deal with discouragement as Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. We don't allow discouragement to beat us up. We don't allow it to remain in our life. Notice how in both the story of Elijah and in David, the discouragement was only for a moment. It wasn't, I was very discouraged and, I went to, a 10-week discouragement counseling course and they taught me breathing techniques and all this type of stuff. And after 10 weeks, I feel a little better. Mostly when I do the breathing techniques, I feel better. But usually after that, it goes away for a little bit, but then it just kind of comes back. But, that's not how God wants it to be. God wants it to be that momentary feeling of discouragement is nothing in comparison to the great encouragement that he has for you. Which, by the way, the discouragement's not from God. God never discourages his children like that. He corrects us, but he doesn't discourage us. But all true correction is encouraging. I hope that this teaching blessed you today. Perhaps you might be watching this right now, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, make him the Lord of your life, repent of your sin, and put your faith in him. Repeat this prayer after me. Just say, "Dear Jesus, today, as I was listening to the Bible, I decided that I wanted to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sin. I believe that you died for me, that you were buried in the ground, and that you rose again. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, praise God. Find a good Bible-believing church to get plugged into. Find a church nearby. How do I know if it's a Bible-believing church? Ask a great church, great churches to go to are churches that are Pentecostal churches. And if you don't know what that means, go show up at the church and ask them if they're Pentecostal, and you'll find out. Find a church near you. Find a church that is growing, that has young people in it, that doesn't just have, 20 old people in it or something like that. Find a good Bible-believing church to go to. Lastly, I just want to give you an opportunity today. If you want to sow into this ministry, we are about to put on our back-to-school bash. I never pressure anyone to give anything. You don't have to give any money to this ministry. It's just if you feel led of the Lord to be able to sow. We never pressure anyone to give. If you're feeling pressured right now, please don't give. But the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. But if you want to sow something into this ministry, maybe this broadcast blessed somebody and they said, "Man, this blessed me and I want to give unto the Lord and to this ministry because this broadcast blessed me so much." So if that's you and you want to sow, go ahead and give. The giving's on the back. Make sure to give drop down Impact Youth. And God bless you as you give. And we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.